From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a few minutes, tech companies are fighting a battle for skilled workers and H-1B visas. But first, who will be crowned the king or queen of fried fair goodness? We'll find out later this morning when the State Fair of Texas holds its annual food competition. There are 8 finalists for the Big Tech's Choice Awards, concoctions like fried Soraka balls and something called fried sweet Texas. That's a mix of pecan pie, buttermilk pie, and peach cobbler. Only one finalist isn't fried, funnel cake ale, beer that tastes like the State Fair classic treat. The winning vendors will take home golden Big Tech statuettes for best taste and most creative and guaranteed lines at their food booths come fair time. State Fair of Texas starts September 26th. Your diet is not only important for regulating health, but it also affects how the body interacts with prescription medication. In this week's Vital Signs, pharmacist David Adams with Parkland Hospital explains some of the most common food and drug interactions.
Tylenol and alcohol are both metabolized in your liver. Too much Tylenol, too high of doses of Tylenol for too long of time could damage your liver potentially. Just like alcohol can be rough on your liver. You never want to take both of them together.
So the combination together would really be too much.
Yes.
In the times when I have taken prescription drugs, almost always on that warning label is grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit and grapefruit juice is metabolized the same way as many medicines are. So if you're drinking grapefruit juice or eating grapefruit, what could potentially happen is certain medicines can start to build up in your system. And that could potentially be dangerous. So if you're on many medicines, typically it's good to avoid grapefruit.
Green leafy vegetables?
With people who are taking blood thinners like warfarin, warfarin works by suppressing vitamin K. Vitamin K is integral in the process of coagulation. Green leafy vegetables are rich in vitamin K. So you're working against that process. You want to keep the amount of green leafy vegetables in your diet at a constant. You don't want to be not eating any at all, and then all of a sudden you eat a whole lot of green leafy vegetables, because that could work against the warfarin. By the same token, you want to avoid certain fruit juices, such as cranberry and grapefruit juice, can thin the blood. So you've got two potential interactions there. You don't want to increase the potential of a clot. And you don't want to thin the blood so much that there's the potential that you may bleed internally.
Along the line of food and medicine interactions, what should diabetics be aware of, for instance?
The key thing with diabetics is you really need to watch your carbohydrate intake. You have to count the number of portions of carbohydrates at each meal. Medicines for diabetics, of course, are to control the blood sugar, to lower the blood sugar. If you're eating too much carbohydrate portions in your meals, your blood sugar is going to come up.
Any problems for heart patients?
The key problem with what we eat is the amount of sodium in our foods. What happens with sodium, it retains fluid in your body and your bloodstream. So the greater amount of fluid that builds up in your bloodstream, there's a greater blood volume for the heart to push, and that causes blood pressure to increase. So we really need to look at the labels on foods we buy. Frozen foods typically are high in sodium. Canned vegetables are high in sodium. We really shouldn't be adding sodium salt on anything. It's not good for anyone, be you with someone with high blood pressure or normal blood pressure.
What about salt substitutes?
Typically, salt substitutes are potassium. But the problem with potassium, if your body's not clearing it well, and you start to build up too much potassium in your system, that could affect the rhythm of your heart. Too much potassium in your system or too little potassium in your system can affect how your heart actually beats.
David, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
David Adams is an ambulatory clinical staff pharmacist with Parkland Hospital. There's more information on food and drug interactions at keranews.org. Nearly a quarter of Texas business owners are foreign-born. These entrepreneurs brought in a total income of $10 billion in 2010. Still, immigration is a sticking point, especially for budding startups. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports Texas entrepreneurs are pushing for more high-skilled visas.
In the world of science, Michio Kaku is a rock star. The theoretical physicist and futurist says when it comes to technology, America has a secret weapon. It's a visa called the H-1B.
Without the H-1B, the scientific establishment of this country would collapse. Forget about Google. Forget about Silicon Valley. There would be no Silicon Valley without the H-1B.
So what are H-1Bs? They're visas for highly skilled foreign-born workers. They come with a long list of restrictions, and they're hard to get. Companies looking for these employees snatch the visas up fast. In October, it took less than a week for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services to hit next year's cap of 65,000.
It's a talent war, and I know it's a talent war in California. But it's a talent war here as well.
Shams Juma is CEO of a Dallas startup called Quantify. It's an online marketplace that connects entrepreneurs with experts to help them build their businesses.
You know, it's very difficult for us to find good talent and in-house.
Juma recently shared his struggle with a group of startup enthusiasts at an event put on by community group Launch DFW and Forward.us. That second organization has been called the Zuckerberg Pack for its Facebook founder, Mark Zuckerberg. Not everyone searching for an H-1B wants to work for Google or Facebook. Adrian Avendano wants to work at his own company, but it's not that easy.
Even immigration lawyers, I went and talked to one from the university, and I was like, what can I do? I want to start my own startup. And he was like, well, are you single? Yes. Well, get married.
I'm like, getting married to stay in the country wasn't Avendano's idea when he moved here from Mexico. He came 6 years ago to finish his PhD. And while at the University of Texas at Dallas, he founded Ares Materials, an electronic fabrication company. But Avendano's on a student visa, so he's not allowed to work.
I think it's kind of backwards because, I mean, there's people that come here for 6 years, 7 years, 10 years to pursue their grad school. So they're prepared people that U.S. and taxpayer dollars funded. And then when they're done, the government or the immigration laws send them back home instead of keeping these really smart people that can really, really contribute to the future of U.S.
Yes, of course, the dream of many foreign students that come in are educated in U.S. universities, want to stay. And so they do seek positions with firms that sponsor them. But private sector runs out of H-1B so quickly every year. These are very hard visas to get.
Pia Arrhenius is senior economist and vice president at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. She's also a fellow in the Tower Center at SMU. She says North Texas is in serious need of more H-1B visa workers.
We're growing at a blistering pace, and we are a poster child for an economy with labor shortages. And so we are bringing in lots of migrants, not only from other states, but also from out of the country.
Opposition to H-1B visas generally comes from workers in the U.S. who say the visas allow companies to import cheaper, younger competition. And there's another common complaint about H-1Bs in the tech community. They don't allow entrepreneurs to work for themselves. They have to work for someone else. That's why some are pushing for a different way to work in the country, something called the startup visa.
In principle, you know, the idea is probably a good one. I mean, we want to encourage innovation and startups and so on. I think the devil's in the details.
Ron Hira is author of Outsourcing America and associate professor at Howard University. He says a visa for foreigners who've raised funds from American investors is worth considering. The thing is, he's worried foreigners could be exploited by venture capitalists who hold the key to them staying in the country.
And I don't think things have been really vetted very well in the public discussion. There really haven't been careful analyses of what the impacts of the startup visa would be, either by think tanks or through congressional hearings.
Entrepreneurs in Dallas say community conversations are a good start, even if they're frustrating. Immigration reform is slow, and these entrepreneurs are eager to start working in the North Texas tech community. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.